Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good morning. Good noon. Good night. Good dusk. Good dawn. Good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast appearing live and in person for the first time in almost a decade.
No, not that long.
Pretty long, though.
Yeah. I was just thinking, and that's why I started giggling, that this is too intimate. Because when we last did it in 2019 in person, there were like 50 four people. Of us. Like, so I'm not just like,
this is like
we're
a
doing like a Meisner like exercise. Right. Like, because it feels rude to not look at you.
Right.
But then I'm just staring into your eyes for like,
no,
it's
I agree.
Too
I agree.
Much. It's too much. So, you know what I'm like? I don't, I'm like,
By the way,
I don't know what to do
will
with
be here
my
in a couple
hands.
Minutes to take our order.
I know, it's too much.
It's wild, but we'll see what happens.
We're talking in a room together, and it's blowing our minds.
It's crazy. Well, it's not like we haven't seen each other at all, but we just haven't done it in such a weird, microscopic situation. Right, Amber?
Yes.
What else is going on?
How do people do, like, a one-on-one interview? I should have done research.
This reminds me of this reminds me of the most recent one-on-one interview I saw, which was I don't know if you watched any of the town hall the other night. It was quite a it's a good sign because it means we're back to where we were 8 years ago. You know, this dude is just gonna
my parents thought that it went well. And I was like,
for
I'm
whom?
Listening.
Yeah.
But, because he was so awful that he won't get any new
that's
followers.
One, that's definitely one approach is like, let him do whatever he wants because people are going to be so turned off.
That's what we thought in 2016.
Right, that it was crazy.
Yeah, we're like, sure, this guy. I don't know.
What
if,
a lunatic.
I don't know if that's the tactic.
He won.
Let's give him a lot of airtime.
Right, right. No, that's exactly what it was the last time. Or not the last time. The time before the last time.
Oh, that's true.
Was... this guy's a sideshow, but he's entertaining, so who cares?
We can. It's great for ratings, we don't have to take him seriously.
I just heard that that year was the first year that CNN ever made over $1 billion.
Oh, wow.
And they attributed $100 million of that to Trump.
Boo.
Yeah.
You're watching Succession.
I am, yes.
Did you watch the most recent episode?
Yes.
It is like... it wasn't fun for me. I just was like, this reminds me of election nights traumatizing.
Yeah, I mean, if you have
no
kids,
spoilers.
If you have kids in the room who watch Succession, just mute it for a few moments because we are going to talk about what happened last night on Succession. But what it made me think about was because if you watched Succession last night,
this is a Succession,
which
recap
was 4 days ago.
Now.
It was the episode where they had the election.
Right.
And basically the Roy family decided the election, pushed the right-wing fascist candidate because he was more willing to let them keep their company.
And for other reasons, like sort of interpersonal revenge.
Right.
Weird
Shiv
stuff.
And Tom and the baby and whatever.
Well, and Kendall getting his feelings hurt. Basically, I feel like it was
by Shiv betraying them.
Yes.
But what it made me think about was
people
how
who don't watch Succession.
Know,
are like, great, this is wonderful.
Like, talk about La Brea again. but what it made me think about was like how there were like that one poor guy who was like trying. He
the
was like,
wasabi
we
guy?
Can't say that. Yeah, the wasabi guy. Those were the people who spoke up at Fox on election night in 2020, and they're all gone now. Yeah. And what happened was at Fox was exact. I mean, obviously, it wasn't like these guys were fucking psychic and wrote this before this happened.
Like, wow, this is similar. That's very strange.
Holy shit, they knew what was going to happen
right.
4 years or 3 years ago, whatever it was. But it was like the people who spoke up, and it was when they called it for Arizona. I don't know if you remember, but they Fox said Arizona goes to
the bad guys.
What's his name? Biden.
The good guys.
This was in 2020. Yeah. No, they called
it neutral guys. I don't know.
The current president. We don't take sides here at The Long Shot. We merely report the truth. couldn't be farther from the truth. But so they reported that Arizona was going to Biden, and there were people who were like, it's too early. You can't call it. You can't call it. We don't know. And the guy, I think his name is Chris Steierwalt, who was in charge, or I don't know if he was in charge, but he was at the desk that was keeping track of all that stuff, was a fucking expert. And he was like that guy last night. He was like, I know.
I know.
And they reported it. And if you remember, right after that, people were leaving Fox in droves to go watch OAN and like all these shitty
right-wing
news networks that were pushing the conspiracy theory of the election was rigged. And that's when Fox took a hard, like, amazing that a company that was already like just going in circles to the right could go even farther right. But they took a hard right turn because of that. And it was just making me think last night about how there were ethical people at Fox still at that time. And of course, they're all gone now.
Well, it's also just wild, a human nature thing that people only want to hear what they want to hear.
I agree. And I was thinking about that today because...
You've been thinking a lot today.
Well, that report came out. What's his name? The special prosecutor who's been investigating the Russia investigation, Durham, John Durham, for years has been investigating the Russia investigation. And of course, his investigation led to nothing. Like the whole predicate of it was that the Russia investigation was a hoax and was, you know, it was Bill Barr while he was working for Trump who started this investigation, and Durham and Barr went to all over Europe and talked to all the governments over there about whether Biden was corrupt and what kind of, and they ended up at one point, they found out, I think from the Italian government, was like, no, they were like, no, Biden is fine, but Trump is a criminal. And they had like all this stuff about like, Trump. Well, it was so bad that they felt they had to report it, but they never investigated it. I don't even know. I mean, that's part of the problem too, is there's so much of this shit that you're like, I don't fucking know what's going on anymore. But anyway, I today was watching MSNBC and they were like, this is nothing. Who cares? All those people were guilty. There was collusion. It was just the language in this Durham report was the FBI didn't look at some of the information hard enough. And then you go on Twitter and you see people like Ben Shapiro and all the right-wing people who are like, the FBI must be disbanded. Clearly, this report indicates that there was – that, you know, there, people should go to jail. Hillary should go to Guantanamo Bay. Obama should go to prison camp on the moon or whatever.
Right. You know?
And that's exactly that. It's like I heard what I wanted to hear and he heard what he wanted to hear. And he just has a bigger platform, although this is a big platform.
Oh, so. Man.
It all works out. But anyway, the town hall was great and it made me feel good about the next couple of years and how things are going to go.
I didn't watch it.
All right. So we always like to start the show with a segment that we call viewer mail. So I have some YouTube comments that people left for us. And I thought I would read some of those.
What do I do with my hands?
We're only shooting our eyes right now. No, what's weird is if you look to the left, you can see the monitor. I'm looking at myself right now, and there's like a tape delay.
You look great. I just looked.
My forehead is shiny. Okay. Here are some people commented on various episodes of the show.
Of YouTube.
I sometimes don't remember what they're talking about. Hopefully you can clarify for me some of the stuff that I don't remember. First one is from our old friend Felipe in Brasilia. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly because obviously they speak Portuguese there, not Spanish, but I do my best. He says, I'm not a dad, but I love cake. I thought they were disbanded or something. Their last album came out like 15 years ago. I'm glad to hear their touring.
I think he's being funny. You know what he's talking about.
I know he's talking about. We talked about you because thought that I didn't know who Cake was or what Cake was. Was it what Cake was or who Cake was?
I mean,
because I know both of those things.
I asked you if you're familiar with Cake.
I took it the wrong way.
Yeah. And the episode wasn't about me interrogating you about
you,
cake.
You were just like, do you know who cake is? And I was like, why are you accusing yes, me of something?
And it also was like it was me preempting a story I was telling about listening to a band, a wedding band.
And you wanted to dance.
They played a cake song.
Right.
Cake wasn't at the wedding playing.
Right.
So he's being funny, I think.
Oh, I see. Oh, he's saying maybe the cake was the band at the wedding. No, it's a problem at weddings all the time because they're like, the cake is here.
Yeah, and
people
and they're
hear,
like,
you know,
oh, shit, I love
cake,
that song.
I love cake. Yeah. And then other people are like, I don't know who cake is. Who's cake?
And the other and person's like,
what
really
are you accusing
mad.
Me of? Yeah.
So I think that's what that
I
was
get
all
it.
About.
Okay.
But yeah, I love that I've opened
I remember
up
we,
a dialogue about cake.
Yeah, I remember did. That we talked about cake, but I was like, I don't remember the part about their touring. But it's great to hear that they're playing weddings again. and then, okay, so Aaron is here. Can we turn the camera around and show that Aaron is here at the... No, okay.
We cannot. It's a term of my deal.
What is he muttering about? I don't know.
Special effects.
But Aaron wrote, I love them too, but I worked a concert or sort of a one-day festival.
Oh, man.
Story behind that, that they played in 02-03.
Peak cake time, I would say.
Yeah, they closed out the show with an unbearably half-assed set. Oh. I don't think they played any hits.
Weird.
There was no trumpet, which I feel is a big part of the band.
Mm.
Everyone poured out of the venue while they played. It's not the only story like this that I've heard, so that's concerning. Maybe they appreciate it more now? That was from Aaron.
Yeah, maybe they're just, like, some bands, they're not to see live. They're to listen to their
The first
album.
Concert I ever went to mm-hmm. was
cake.
The car. It was cake. But it was just a couple of cakes playing the trumpet.
How dare you? I know who they are.
No, it was the Cars. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited. I was like 14. I went from my home in New Rochelle down to Manhattan, New York City, to Grand Central, then over to Port Authority, took the bus out to the Brendan Byrne Arena in New Jersey. It was like a five-hour trip.
By yourself?
To the city by myself and then with my friend to the show from Port Authority, or as some people call it, Port of Authority. But they sucked. They played for like 45 minutes. It was exactly the album version of every song.
Whoa.
And I was like, this is a ripoff.
Yeah.
And I spent too much time getting here.
Did that turn you off of concerts for a while? Or did you know in the moment that this was a bad one?
I didn't know because I had no experience, but mm-hmm. I was like, this kind of sucked. Like, was it worth mm-hmm. this much effort? And it didn't turn me off, but it also didn't make me go, I got to do this more often, mm-hmm. you know? So I kind of went to shows the whole time I was growing up and even more recently than that, but I was never a person who went to like, oh, these guys are in town. Let's go see all their shows. The closest to that I ever did was with, I used to try to go to like whenever Ben Folds was in town, mm-hmm. I would go. And then literally a week ago, he was the guest on Improv for Humans.
Oh, cool.
And I was on that episode, but then he canceled at the last minute.
Damn
so I really wanted to show him the picture I had of the two of us from the show he did at the... Do you remember the place, the Sunset, where the Sunset 5 Theater is? Like Sunset Plaza,
think?
He did a show right in the middle of that plaza one
Whoa.
Time. Yeah, it was wild.
There's like a sushi restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. there's also a
gym
there.
Yeah. Starbucks.
Parking structure.
The most specific shopping center of all
time. It's right
time.
At the corner of Crescent Heights and Sunset.
No,
it's across
I know.
From the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's where Crescent Heights turns into Laurel.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to an episode of the map people. Okay. Here's one from Rob Scheimer, and he says, Dance Floor Blue Balls is the name of my new improv group.
It's a great improv group name, and you're welcome, because I coined that phrase.
Yeah, I think it totally works as a improv group name.
It's a little blue. It's not like an all ages.
That makes
situation.
Me want to see it more.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's literally, it's a lot blue because blue is right in the name.
Right. You're going to get a lot of suggestions that are like 69. And like
so. I'm sorry. We don't. Hi folks. We are Dance Floor Blue Balls. We only take numbers above 70.
As suggestions. Also, I don't know why our suggestion's always a number.
Could I get a suggestion of a number from 70 or higher?
Someone doing a Mad Libs? An adjective.
Okay, guys, the rocket ship launches in 72, 71. Ugh, not another of these scenes. But I did a show the other night. I did two shows in one night.
Hello.
With The Swarm. But it was just like, The Swarm is like from, you know, so long ago, so there's barely any of us left. Mm. And the group that
it's
went...
It's like Menudo.
Right. We're very similar to Menudo. All of us were cast for our fuckability. But we got good after a while, actually. Because mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's how Menudo is. You're like, oh, these guys are actually good musicians. Mm-hmm. But
wasn't Ricky Martin one?
I would fuck them. Yes. Ricky mm-hmm. Martin was one. Also, Louis Tiant was one. And...
No one cares.
Oil can Boyd. That was for Aaron. But the group after us was called, and it just made me laugh so hard. No, I wish it was Squeesh. No, they were called Puck Up the Funch Line.
Okay.
Puck Up the Funch
Line. Yeah, that's fun, but don't make me say it ever.
Right. But it just made me think, like, because it's just a couple of us still performing, uh-huh. just every time we should come up with a new, like, terrible name, you know?
Yeah.
And we watched Puck Up the Funch Line, and they were exactly what I expected. Neutral statement. Okay.
It's just a full sentence is the thing. It's right. A lot. It's a mouthful.
Score 4 and 7 years ago.
Yes. Numbers again. Yes.
Can we get a number above 87? Okay, this one's from Declined Ace, which is Ace, who has written to us a number of times recently. The one who made those figures of us.
Oh, yeah.
And when he was in high school and now he's in college. He says, I can definitely send you those cube renderings I did. I ended up deleting my Twitter years ago. In hindsight, probably one of the smartest things I've done. Absolutely. Also, you are right about having very few drunk episodes. Yeah, we only had a couple of drunk. Mm-hmm. Like, because people were writing in, like several people wrote in and said, I found you guys on the episode where you were really drunk. It felt like all our mm-hmm. episodes. There's only a few of them.
Well.
A few too many.
I mean, we... Yeah. A few that showed.
Right. Fair enough. One theory for why two different people referenced it as our foray into the podcast was because it was – oh, I see. Was because it was a season finale episode. After that, I believe you went on a break and there was maybe some question as to whether the podcast would continue. That's every episode, by the way.
Every minute.
Yeah. And that's it, folks. Thank you. During the break, the season finale was the most recent episode in the feed, giving more time to stumble upon that episode than the regular ones. That makes sense. Ace mm-hmm. is going to do great when he graduates from college.
Yeah.
If he graduates. I didn't graduate. So, you know. I mean, I did eventually. Whatever. It's a long story. I'm drunk. here's another one from 69. Here's another one from Rob Scheimer. He says, my first episode was the crossover with Pop My Culture.
Mm.
That was an early one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that he was listening to Pop My Culture and they were like, we're going to be on this other one.
Fell in love with us.
Well, I guess.
I mean, he started listening.
I wasn't going to go that far.
listening to the podcast. Yeah.
I also, Rob, if you are in love with us, please write back.
No, don't.
I also listen to Stop Podcasting Yourself. I understand Mutual of Omaha. That is good because do you know what Mutual of Omaha was? It was an insurance company that mm-hmm. sponsored a TV show called Wild Kingdom, and the host was a guy named Marlon Perkins, and his assistant's name was Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like the butt of every stand-up in the 70s because Jim would do all the work while Marlon Perkins stood off to the side. So it was always like Marlon Perkins was like this older dude with like a little mustache, and he would be like, "My assistant Jim is going to grab the alligator by its teeth and make sure it's
the classic sidekick sort of."
Right, right. But it was, you know, at a time when everybody watched the same shit, so everybody knew who Marlon Perkins was.
But what? Why are
I
you
said
talking?
It, no. I said it on a show. Oh, he says I understand Mutual of Omaha, and I had referenced it on the show and said,
I'm
sure nobody knows what I'm talking about, but he's saying that he does. I'm assuming okay. Rob is an older fellow. And if I'm wrong, good for you, Rob. The second location comment had to do with a job.
Mm-hmm.
And IU mentioned the meme about being kidnapped. Yes, that had to do with that 30 Rock reference.
Mm-hmm.
The return of the Oprah Dine sounds like old-timey Johnny Dollar.
Do you understand?
No.
Because I was like, I sure don't.
Okay, here's the theory.
It might have been a drunk episode for him.
No. Okay, that's one theory.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is that Rob is a sleeper agent for Russia.
Oh, and he's
sending
like,
messages in code.
Because I was going to repeat it, but I couldn't even repeat it.
Yeah.
It was like, Oprah Diner is...
The return of the Oprah Dine sounds like old-timey Johnny Dollar.
Yeah, that's code.
And there's a lot of quotes in there, but you can't tell which quotes go with which.
Wait, it's the Oprah dying? Or?
Dying, D-Y-N-E.
May I help clarify?
Yeah. Aaron has clarification. What's up, Aaron?
So the Return of the Oprah Din is a video game someone recommended to you that involved a ship and murder or something. Yeah.
Thank you.
At least that part I can help.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. It does say Oprah Dine, but he clearly meant Oprah Din.
Okay, so say
and
it
that
again.
Was the ship,
now,
that
now
was
that
the
I,
ship thing.
No, I remember that where you have to guess how people, like you, it's like a murder mystery sort of, but you're an insurance agent.
Right, yes. And you're a detective in the 19th century figuring out.
Wow, this is going to take us all episode to understand. Wait, so read the sentence again. Maybe
meanwhile,
mean
right
something.
Now, there's somebody in Red Square at the Kremlin like, going, "We must activate the nuclear weapons." So, Agent Scheimer says, "It's fucking on. Start the countdown. 71, 70, 69. Then they high five on 69. Yeah.
So say it again now that
okay.
we have context.
I'm going to say it the right way this
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Okay. The second location comment. It's all part of the same.
Okay. I was like, we know that part.
The second. Okay. Dance Floor Blue Balls is the... Oh, I'm going too far back.
Yeah.
Second location comment had to do with a job, and you mentioned the meme about being kidnapped that had to do with that 30 Rock reference. I guess it's not connected to that. It just says, the return of the Oprah Din sounds like old-timey Johnny Dollar, and I'm assuming that old-timey Johnny Dollar is another video game. Let's check that. Aaron, is that correct?
I will check it.
Aaron is...
We really got to the bottom of that one, almost.
Okay, the next one is from Protege 5, which is our friend Phil up in the Great White North.
Johnny Dollar is a musician.
Johnny Dollar is a musician.
And an American blues artist.
Okay, well, now we're further away than we were before.
We got almost there. We were very far away when we started.
Comrade Scheimer has mentioned the insurance game about investigating murders and the American blues musician. Time to launch. So Phil's comment is just sustainable. I don't know what that is in reference to, but thank you, Phil. Phil is like on it every week.
Succinct.
You
know?
Well, no, but also like he just pays attention and he comments on everything. Because the next episode he wrote Solidarity with the WGA.
Nice.
Which was, okay. Here is one from A. Clyde Hall. Or a Clyde Hall. I don't know if it's one or the other. As the singer in a band, I also feel like performing on stage is my church. It's so fun and cathartic and exciting, and being too amped up to sleep after a show is very real, late cokes or not. But I will say, Sean's right, 37 shots of bourbon does help. And that's how you end up with a drunk episode.
I remember what that is all in reference to.
You do or you don't?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
It's to the cake.
No. Nothing to do with cake.
It was because you went to your clowning show.
Yeah, and I had a single Coke and couldn't sleep.
Right. Okay. And then here's another one from a Clyde Hall. And it says, also an idea for the t-shirt ideas deck. Fuck. I still have not put that deck together of like what we're going to do for t-shirts.
Are you making a deck?
Well, I'm a ship guy, so I always want to have a deck, you know? No, I don't know how to make a deck.
All I do all day long is make a deck.
Really? So if I send you the t-shirt ideas, you'll make a deck?
I don't want to.
And then we can just sail away on a t-shirt deck. A solo Sean shirt that features a dignified portrait of him with a nameplate underneath that reads Dr. Steve Dentist. That makes me laugh just because I love the idea of somebody being like, I'm here to see Dr. Dentist.
Well, we were talking about that.
Yeah, well, somebody texted me, Steve Dentist?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you Steve Dentist? Yes, that's me, Dr. Steve Dentist. I had no choice but to go to dental school. Okay, here's from Mr. Zastin. Sorry the Knicks got eliminated, Sean. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. But I hope you at least enjoyed having a good team to watch and root for this season. I did. I'm a Celtics fan, so Sunday night I'm going to be feeling real good or real bad. What's fucked up is it's Monday, and I'm not sure if the Celtics won or lost last night. They did, says
they
Aaron.
Did
thank
win
you.
Or lose.
Yes.
Sorry.
I knew that. I was well aware that they had done one or the other.
Well, sorry.
Good for them.
Sorry.
They finally did it. They won or lost. Guys, great job out there tonight. The way we went out there and won or lost.
We didn't break even.
We did it or not. What did they do? Did they win or
they
lose?
They did win.
They won. Yeah. Okay. So they move on to the next round.
Yes.
They are in the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Heat, our fucking rival, Duncan Robinson. So go Celtics. And by the way, Duncan, if you're listening, I'm kidding, but I will beat your ass.
I hope that you win or lose.
Right.
He did.
I hope that you succeed or fail.
He did.
Congratulations on your success or failure. Okay. No. This is another one from Phil. See what I mean? Like, Phil is just on it every episode. No caffeine after lunch has been a game changer for me.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm trying to cut back, but it's just hard sometimes.
And you just love going places where they spell your name wrong.
Like
you're more addicted to that.
I do.
The caffeine.
It's my favorite thing. I don't know. I posted this on Instagram, but I got a coffee recently at a place and the cup came and it said coffee on the cup. I was like, is it really that important? Like, do you guys have that wide a variety of drinks?
Well, it wasn't a latte or a cappuccino.
I guess. So I'm trying, Phil. Thank you for your support. Here's another one from Rob. And I got to say, like, Rob Scheimer, Phil, I mean, everybody who writes in is great, but I love when people like are just consistently, it just feels
nice. Well, I like
nice.
The multiple comments because it feels like they're commenting as they're listening.
Right,
like,
right.
They're not sending one at the end with all of their thoughts. It's like, it's almost like conversation.
Or they're not sending one at the end where they're like, I have 30 things to say and I just forgot all of them and I'm only saying the thing about Oprah dying. Somebody's listening right now, like half, and they're like, oh my God, Oprah's dead?
She is or isn't.
She is or not. I'm declaring her yes, dead or not. Is that Flava Flav? No, it is Sean. I am a merchandiser. I do stores and set up displays. I work for the product, not the store. Many people scream at me when the line is too long. My name tag looks nothing like the store one.
I don't know about the Flava Flav stuff.
I don't either.
But
I mean, I know who Flava Flav
is.
Oh, come
on, please. He was a good friend.
He's very famous for being on that VH1 show, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. About the peacocking.
Clock. Yeah. But the rest of it just sounds unfortunate that in his job, people are asking for help or yelling at him for.
I must have yelled at somebody for having the wrong name tag on, or this feels like he's taking a shot at me.
Yes.
Come on. He is. He absolutely is. He's like, why would you talk to someone that way?
You see, guys, how he takes everything personal?
By the way, Flava Flav is another concert that I saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was a great one in 1993, maybe. I was teaching junior high school. I went to the greatest rap show ever at Madison Square Garden. And it was about, I don't know, 8 or 9 different groups. Like Black Sheep was there. Naughty by Nature was there before they kind of blew up. Public Enemy was the, or not, yeah. They were the headliners. And that was the show I went to where it was just myself and my friend Dave, and we were kind of like all the way in the back, like all the way up in Madison Square Garden. And, grooving to the music, lots of weed smoke around. And all of a sudden I just heard Mr. Conroy.
Oh,
and it was one of my students from the junior high school who was there with her mother. So I ended up talking to her mother for a long time. So, yeah. Okay. Next one is from Spruce Gum 7532.
Not to be confused
with Spruce Gum 69. I would have thought Amber was far too young to have seen Steve Allen on What's My Line. Do you know what that's a reference to? It's a reference to Steve Allen on What's My Line. Did you talk about that at some point?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like something I would reference. But maybe you did, and I acted like, "Oh yeah, I know."
I seem like I would reference Steve Allen on What's My Line from the 1950s.
It sounds like something Jeff would reference. Uh-huh. He watches old.
Oh, he likes that kind of stuff. I think What's My Line is the one where they would have like 3 people on, mm-hmm. and they would all pretend to be, a butcher, and the person would get to ask each of them questions and whatever.
Find out
and at the end, they would
butchers.
Go, "Will the real butcher please stand up?" And that. But I could be totally wrong about that. I could be making that up.
Yeah, I must have said something that was a famous quote in that.
Right. By the way, I just noticed that we're on that side as well.
Mm-hmm. I was saying before you got here that it is funny
that we haven't changed our logo yes. in 115 years.
And that 2 of the members have not been here in multiple years.
Right.
But they
on brand, mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. brand. By the way, if you have thoughts on how to change the logo, send them to our t-shirt deck. so are you far too young to have seen, you don't know Steve Allen?
I know who Steve Allen is.
I know he had a theater over here on.
And I know I know what that is. I've mm-hmm. heard of it, but I don't know about his appearance.
You don't remember that episode where you quoted extensively from. People responded. So Rob Scheimer. So I would have thought Amber was far too young to have seen Steve Allen on What's
also,
My Line.
Thank you.
Yes, you look younger than 70.
thank you.
Rob Scheimer wrote back and said reruns, which That's is a valid point. And then Mr. Zastin wrote back and said one would also think that she's too young to love Columbo, and yet, and I think she does is implied at the end of that sentence.
Yes.
It just trails off in an ellipsis. But
well, I love that people are coming. Like, there's a grand debate about mm-hmm. my knowledge of that show that I don't really have knowledge of. So
How could she possibly know about Steve Allen? I don't. No, but she could have seen it in reruns.
So I don't know what that was about, but they'll tell us.
Yeah.
This show is just going to be us responding to
not
comments.
Not understanding comments.
Yeah, and then so they will comment back, and then we won't even understand why they said that. Right. Like, we are just, like, permanently have amnesia. Like, every day is our first on this earth.
It's an Ouroboros of self-referentiality. Okay, we always like to start the show with a segment that we call Checking In. So let's start that today with Amber.
Okay, great.
I was looking at my list and I don't have any names on it. I was going to start with Joe, but I decided to go.
He's got a lot to check in.
Yeah,
with.
Yeah. Where the fuck have I been?
So I was telling Aaron this before we started recording. Mm-hmm. This Thursday, we had a big family event. We took Smudgy to get fixed. Finally, which is pretty late in life for a dog, but because we couldn't get him on a leash for so long, mm-hmm. like you have to be able to control your dog to be able to take care of them.
I can only imagine. Yeah. I hope.
Are you checking my hands?
No, I hope. I just hope you gave him some of those anti-anxiety meds before he went in to be fixed.
No, he had to be fasted for 10 hours, no food, no water. And it was a big deal. Like, Smudgy's our first dog. I know I talk about Smudgy so much, and I'm almost self-conscious about it, but it is a big deal. Like, taking a dog to get surgery, it's like I can't explain to him what's going to happen and why. And taking him home was so heartbreaking because I think of the specific size that he is. He's a little bit too big for the little guy cone, but he's way too little for the medium sized guy cone.
Right.
So his cone is just comically big. There's another dog in the neighborhood who currently has a cone on, and the cone goes like just past his ears, like here. Smudgy's goes like out. It's ridiculous. And like, we had to hand feed him at first because he couldn't figure out how to get to the food, the poor guy. And often dogs.
He's also walking around going like, what the fuck happened?
Ouch. Yeah. a lot of dogs like look sad and pathetic in a cone. Mm-hmm. He is just fucking pissed, yeah. Like just livid, and like anytime he bumps up against, he's calmed down now because it's been a few days, but that first couple days, if he would bump into anything, he was like, God fucking damn it. Like, he had just like a little temper, and it was really cute and
I
sad.
Know what that feels like.
I mean, it's annoying. I would mean, be annoyed.
I had my leg in an immobilizer for months, and it was a fucking nightmare, and I was furious about it the whole time. Not that I'm ever not furious about anything. But
immobilizer?
Immobilizer, yeah. Like, it was, I tore my quadriceps tendon, and the doctor was like, you can either have surgery, which, because you don't currently have insurance,
will cost
right now,
$92 million.
Will be $1 billion.
Yeah.
Or you can put your leg in this immobilizer and just, it'll knit back together.
Eventually.
But it'll take a while, and you'll have to keep your leg completely straight the entire time. So I had to walk with a cane. I think I've talked about this before. Uh-huh. I had to walk with a cane for like 3 months because my leg was just straight.
So you would like sit down and your leg would just, oh my gosh.
I flew from New York to Los Angeles on JetBlue with my leg in an immobilizer. And I purposely got a bulkhead seat because I was like, oh, I'll have plenty of room. No, there's no extra leg room. So I just sat for the entire flight with my legs sticking out into the aisle.
And people thought you were trying to trip them.
Well, I was. I mean, if you're, you might as well take advantage of the situation.
High five. Yeah.
But no. All I could think the entire time was somebody would come walking along and not see my leg and step on my shin and snap it like a matchstick, which ultimately didn't happen, but it was my fear the entire time. So anyway, I sympathize with poor Smudgy having that
it looks
uncomfortable
it
thing.
It also just feels like there's got to be a better way. It feels like such an archaic technology at this point. Like, there's
right. Why does a dog recovering from surgery have to be treated the same way as a scoop of ice cream? You know.
Wow. When you think of
it's
it
not
that
cool.
way.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was just, he's a funny dude. I'm all over the place, but like we dropped him off.
It's a traumatic event.
He really didn't want to go in. I took him on a very short walk that morning because.
Not off a long pier, I hope.
No. Nowhere near a pier. Because he's a little scavenger. I always say that he's
chicken bones.
He's my little Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. He's a little archaeologist. Right. So, and he was supposed to be fasted. Like Jeff and I both just had this fear that after all of this, it was hard for us emotionally to make the appointment. Like it wasn't something we were looking forward to doing, but we knew that we had to. So we finally did it. And then we had this fear that morning he would find a pepperoni pizza outside of our front door and then we couldn't do the surgery because he needed to have been fasted and we'd have to go through the whole process again. Right. So
that's happened to me twice when I've been going to surgery. I've stepped out of the house
and ate a whole
pepperoni pizza and I'm like, sorry, doc, can't do it today. I was fasting since midnight, but what am I supposed to do? There's a pepperoni pizza outside my front door at 8 o'clock in the morning. Come on.
Well, and we had to be at the vet at 7:30. Mm-hmm. It was an early morning. So he had like a short walk. Like, he's a man of routine. He likes we go on a very long walk in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back to bed, but in his cool crate, and he gets a little chicken snack, and everyone's happy.
Right.
But all of that was like wackadoo because I had to take him on a short walk.
Everything was all fucked up.
So crazy.
Yeah.
And it's been crazy ever since. But when we dropped him off, they were like, we will let you know when you can pick him up, but it'll be between 4 and 6. And we were like,
that sounds like 5 to me.
But also, what do you mean? Like, are you the cable man? Like, what are you talking about? Like, giving me...
Well, I guess probably they don't know exactly how long it's going to take to... Ugh, I just got...
Don't think about it.
Do what they have to do, yeah.
But after all of that, at 1:30, they send a message saying, he'll be ready at 2:30. And so I was like, what was that window about?
We just got in there and did it. A lot of times it takes us a while to talk him into it, but yeah.
And he, so I went to the office. I went to work that day. And so I like rushed back to go pick him up. And then of course we were waiting in the waiting room for like an hour. So it was just like, what? All of these time frames make no sense.
Bring a book.
Yeah.
And that's what my mother always says. She's like, if you have to go to the waiting room, bring a book because you never know how long you're going to be there for.
Great advice. And Jeff and I went together for both. I don't know.
That makes sense.
And the nurse was like, so we took him off the anesthesia. Mm. Most dogs are very sleepy, but we think he has a lot of adrenaline through his system because he is wide awake. Like he's a fighter through and through. I'm like, you're not gonna get me, even though he's unconscious. Mm-hmm. So he was wide awake, but like confused and looks so sad. And I'll send you some pictures of him in the cone. It is so cute and so sad.
By the way, you know what they do to you when you're going under from anesthesia? To make it work, they have you count backwards from 71.
I was thinking about that. I was like, dogs can't count. Like, what do they do? So they brought him out and they like went through all of the medications he has and like the post-op care. And he can't jump on couches for a week. He has to wear the cone for a week, all this stuff. And so we're like, oh, okay.
So he has stitches, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said, he might, like, his stomach might be upset today because of the anesthesia, and he's been on fluids all day. Mm-hmm. So he's going to probably have to pee quite a bit. And right. we're like, got it. And then they said he can't jump on couches. And so we're like, so even getting into the car, and they're like, oh, yeah, pick him up to go in the car. He can't jump in the car. And both Jeff and I were like, I don't.
But he's the driver.
No, but like, we can't pick up Smudgy.
Oh, really?
That's not one of the rules that he has provided with us. So we both were like, okay. And so we were inches away from the vet. And we just opened.
Can you back up, please, ma'am? You're right in my face right now.
We parked very close. We had Rockstar parking. Okay. And I opened the back door, and he just jumped and went in. And we're like, well, we fucked up instantly. We were feet away from the vet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to tell you. We'll try to make that happen not so much.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, what can you do? But the problem is you just don't want his stitches to come undone.
Right.
You know? But it's not like you can go, dude, don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's the whole thing. I keep wanting to be like, so how are you? Like, what hurts? Like, what's going on? And so again, he's.
What do you mean, what's going on? I got no fucking dick anymore.
So they said he's been on fluids. He's definitely going to have to pee a lot. And he hasn't peed. Like, I watched him pee the last time. It was at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And so when we got home, like, he was like groggy, but fighting it and being very smudgy and very cute. So we're like, oh, we'll just take him like in the front yard to pee, and then we'll go in and go to bed. And he wouldn't pee. I think he really likes smelling where he's about to pee, and the cone wouldn't let him do that. So he just was like walking around disoriented, and we're like, okay, let's go to bed. Anyway, we tried taking.
I think the anesthesia can affect that sometimes too.
Well,
like sometimes you come out of anesthesia and you can't
pee,
move your body. Yeah.
He also. Yeah, we have a theory that he kind of was feeling the effects for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we tried taking him out to go pee multiple times. This motherfucker didn't pee. His surgery was at 7 a.m. on Thursday. Mm-hmm. He didn't pee again till Friday, 5:30 p.m.
No pun intended.
But like, we were concerned. We were like getting ready to take him back to the vet.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good. Mm-hmm. And then he finally, I was just getting out of the shower. And
that's how Tycho Brahe died. He went to a dinner party, wouldn't get up and pee.
Is that true?
And he died of a urinary tract infection. Yeah.
Wow.
Famous astronomer Tycho Brahe. 15th century. I'm just putting it out there. Amber seems like she's too young to know who Tycho to be following Tycho Brahe's career. Reruns.
But yeah, he finally peed, and we were all so happy. Peed mm-hmm. and pooped. But like, it's crazy, that kind of stuff.
I'm sure he was happy too.
Yeah. Well, he was very unhappy.
Yeah.
Because he has a lot of problems. He's a difficult guy in a lot of ways, but
I can relate to
but
that.
But accidents inside the house has never been an issue. Like, if he does, it means like something seriously wrong. Right, and he looks at me like, oh my God, I hate this. I'm so sorry.
Look, I know I'm an asshole with no balls anymore, but this I feel bad about.
But Jeff was like running an errand, and I had just gotten out of the shower, and he was sort of pacing near the back door, and that's where we take him to go for a walk. And mm-hmm. so I was like, I knew something was up, but I wasn't wearing clothes. So I was like rushing to go get clothes. And
sorry, pal, this is not going to work.
And he just was like, I just saw him, and it was on the tile. He like did such a good job.
Good job, Smiley.
He went to the laundry room, but he peed like
for an hour.
Yeah. And he was so unhappy. But I was like, he thought he was in trouble. I was like, no, this is great news. I can clean it up. That's not a problem. But just like him being so like shaking, and like he would be laying down going like, oh, it broke my heart. It was so hard. I was supposed to be working the rest of Thursday and all of Friday from home. And I was so distracted. I was just, I knew that he was going to be fine, but he seemed not fine.
Well, he wasn't. He was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But he seems to be doing better. He's getting used to the cone. He gets to take it off on Thursday. And we might do Wednesday night. I don't know. But he still hasn't been on couches. And he loves jumping on the couches. So we have just put up a...
That was where he was the last time I saw him, was on the couch with me.
It's his favorite. Mm-hmm. So we've just had a baby gate up and made him stay in the back of the house.
Hey, there's no couches back here. Well, what am I supposed to do?
And then when we're like, oh, let's watch TV at night, we were like, what do we do? So Jeff figured out a system where it's like he tied together multiple leashes, mm-hmm, and tied it around like a post that's in our living room and gave it enough room so that he can walk around a little bit and get to his bed that we put on the floor.
But can't get to the couch.
But last night it was so cute. He would be laying in his bed and then he would just stand up and like look at the couch. Like, that looks so good. Soon, buddy.
It's a rough time in your life when your biggest aspiration is to get to the couch. can't get there.
I'm there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait for him to be fully better. It's like, it's tough to see him in pain. Like, we're going on really short walks. Like, it's messed up my whole daily schedule too. We're both, Jeff and I are like, we have to figure out a way to like leave the house and go for walks because Smudgy was that built in for us.
Right. And he'll get back there.
Can't wait. Can't wait to play tennis ball. Can't wait to cuddle him without a cone.
You call it tennis ball? A lot of people just call it tennis.
He doesn't play tennis. He doesn't know the rules. Oh. He plays tennis ball.
Has he tried pickleball?
Yeah. We throw a tennis ball and he catches it exactly one time and then he goes inside and we call that tennis ball.
He's not that into it, but he enjoys it for a moment.
I forget why. We were pretending like Smudgy was starting school or something or starting a new job. And you have to say like three fun facts about yourself. And so we said Smudgy's three fun facts are, I love my mama, I'm good at tennis ball, and I hate my mama. That's Smudgy.
Very nice. Well, Smudgy, if you're listening, I hope you feel better soon. I sympathize. I empathize.
It feels
all the thighs.
It feels inhumane that we do this, but we're supposed to. I keep saying, I don't know, man. I'm just going with societal norms, but I don't feel great about it.
Right. I mean, we watch enough really sad commercials with Canadian singer-songwriters on them to know that there's a problem. Yeah. If this dog doesn't get food in the next few days. Like those kind of commercials.
Also, what's crazy, in the paperwork we got, I'm sorry I'm talking about this for so long. We have three minutes left.
I have more questions.
They said that he's still potent for 6 weeks.
Oh, boy.
So
don't let him go on a fuck fest.
So he can still, like, after all this, get someone
Smudgy,
pregnant.
Smudgy, get just yourself a couple crazy tickets to Finger Bang City. No fuck fest.
I thought that was wild. 6 weeks feels like a long time.
Yeah, that is a long time. And you know, there's part of him that's like,
let's get this going because
I don't have a lot of time left.
Little smudgy
TikTok,
babies.
TikTok. And by the way, if you're on TikTok, it's a Chinese communist plot. I just want to say this because I know that I have talked about this quite a bit over the years. People know it. And I went to a show the other night to do a show with my...
Squeeze?
with my improv group called We Came, We Saw, We Got a Suggestion.
But like we come or something.
But I walked into the space and somebody that I knew was there with their dog.
Oh, and you're allergic.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. They were like, oh, I just found out that you're allergic to dogs. I don't know how they had found this out. They're not a listener of the podcast. But I know people of the podcast listeners know that that's a thing. Guess what? not allergic to dogs anymore.
Whoa.
I have found this out recently. I have spent some time with some dogs. It's not a problem anymore.
Wow.
What a weird thing.
I mean, I've heard that happens, like allergies.
Like I never had a problem before I moved to LA.
Uh-huh.
Then when I got here, all of a sudden I was deathly allergic to dogs. It was a big problem when I was with the chancellor who had a dog. And I like went to see like a weird witch doctor who, not a real witch doctor, but like somebody who had like, I had to bring some of the dog's hair.
An eye of Newt.
Yeah, it really was. And like she put it in a glass tube and we had to hook it up to electrodes and I had to sit in a chair and get like, so I did that and it had a little bit of an effect, a little bit. And I went to see, I mean, we talked about this recently. I went to see the doctor about allergies and he was like, yep, you're allergic to dogs. Here's your bill for $1,000. It just was always a thing. And then just recently I'm like, it doesn't bother me anymore, you know?
That's amazing.
And like I was at the Oaks Gourmet Deli recently.
I haven't been there in so long. I used to be there all the time.
And this dog was in there buying a six pack. And no, somebody was in front of me online with their dog. And the dog was kind of, folks, welcome to Online Inline, the great debate. So anyway, she was online in front of me. And she was checking her AOL and and the dog was just looking at me and she was like, do you want to say hello? And I was and I knew like
You're
I was
like, I'm allergic.
Well, I was in my head. I was like, I think I might not be allergic anymore. And I was like, yeah. And I like played with the dog for like a long time and felt fine.
What is a long time?
2 days. Like we we went back to my house.
Wow.
We went back
to
my house and we played Murder Bridge. So anyway, I won.
And the
I shot the moon.
Oprah Din.
Yeah. But anyway, it's just a weird thing where it's so funny to me that so many people know that I'm allergic to dogs that I could just walk into a theater in LA and somebody would be like, oh, sorry, I have my dog. Yeah. You're allergic. And I'm like, I'm not anymore. So if you are someone who has a dog, be aware. Like now I'm broadcasting.
Let's hang out.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like Orson Welles, you know, War of the Worlds. I'm like, our top story tonight, Sean is no longer allergic to dog. Like, just put the broadcast out there. So that's my checking in because I feel like we've used up a lot of space and time here. So parting shots. Time for a segment on the show that we like to call.
Oh my God, I just.
By the way, how fucking wild is this?
This is so crazy.
I'm just, again, I'm looking at myself. Like, I move my hand. Imagine if you were high doing this.
You sound stoned.
It really does feel like I'm stoned, but I'm just drunk. all right, so parting shots. Amber, what is your parting shot?
Oh my God, I feel like I just finished checking in.
Yeah, I know. That's how it works.
I am.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting close to finishing this short film that I've been working on for so long. And it's just an interesting process because there's so many pieces that have to be put together. And there's so much coordination of these pieces. And I've never done it before. So I'm not sure who is exactly supposed to do what. Mm. Like we just got a
and
copy.
In what order?
We just, yeah. How much things have to stay once they're a certain way and how much you can change them. And, you know, because if there's parts of it that you've never seen this way before, can you then go, ugh, I don't quite like it like that. Can we change this?
I think so. Or I think you're the director.
Yes, but... Anyway, I don't know. And then there's things like whose responsibility is this particular part of the puzzle? Mm-hmm. Like right now, I just recently got the score from the music supervisor. And so that was incorporated into the locked cut of the film. And then, but then there's also a part of it where a car radio plays and the person who
FX
was putting it together
different.
Yeah,
SFX
was like, am I supposed
score
to do this? And the score person, the music supervisor was like, I assume that was part of the sound design, and then the sound design, like, it's just trying to figure out who is supposed to be doing what. And I have a hard time because everybody is just doing it for almost nothing or
right,
for nothing. Yeah.
To be demanding at all.
It's very hard to be like, come on, let's fucking get this done, you know? So anyway, it's getting there. It's taken way longer than I thought it would. I also went and did color correction the other day, which was wild because you basically just sit in a room and somebody like just goes, does this look better? Or like, it's like being at the optometrist, mm-hmm. like better or worse, better or worse, better or worse. And I didn't know how to articulate anything.
Because you don't have the language.
And but I was like, yeah, like that, like that, like that, like, you know. So sorry I didn't go to film school. I know that's what everybody's accusing me of.
Oh my God. They're accusing
anyway,
you of
the point
of
is, fuck everybody.
Of not going to something that you didn't go to.
I'm a goddamn rebel without a cause. So that's my parting shot, is stay tuned for a short film called Over the Line coming to theaters near you in 2025, 2026, sometime in that area. Okay, parting shots. Amber.
Well, I'll just support something that we've hinted out the last few episodes, but mm-hmm. we haven't outright talked about it. Mm-hmm. But the WGA strike is going on, and I support it. I'm guessing you support it. It's
I do. I'm in the WGA.
Have you been picketing at all?
I have not been picketing. I picketed last time, and I found that after the first couple of weeks, people disappeared. It was very hard to...
So you're going
to
be in the second wave?
I think so, yeah. Like, I think that...
It's hard to maintain that much enthusiasm and energy for a long... It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, exactly. And so, you know, last time I was going out at 5:30 in the morning to a gate at Paramount, and like by myself with a sign, and people were driving by and being like, look at you, you fucking loser, like that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah, producers are not good people. But anyway, I have not been out there yet, but of course I support the strike, even though I haven't worked. I mean, I really haven't done a WGA job in over a decade at this point, but...
Because, yeah, animation is
no,
its
totally
own.
Different ballgame. And speaking of animation, today's episode brought to you by Liquid Death.
I wish. It's not brought to you by anybody.
But the reason I say that is because I realize that Liquid Death, the design, if you see this weird, I guess it's a skull, is done by Will Carsola, who's one of the guys who created Mr. Pickles. So he actually texted me for Mother's Day yesterday, I guess, because... On the show, he played a character named the Sheriff, and I played Sheriff's mama.
Cute.
So he wrote and just said, Happy Mama's Day.
Aww.
So if you're listening, Will, Mama says...
Knock you out.
Knock you out, Sheriff. So good to hear from you. I'll talk to you soon. You're a good boy.
Aww.
So, parting shots, Amber.
No, I did it.
Go ahead.
I don't want to.
So you're basically being Jimmy Hoffa right now, being like a union organizer, and you're...
I support the cause, and I think that...
Even though you're in the corporate structure at Universal.
I know. I'm the bad guys, but...
You work with AI every day, right?
Constantly. But I don't have a direct... stake in it. I am not in mm-hmm. any unions, but I do believe that there's power in the collective, and I have to believe for some like hope in this world that that people have collective power over powerful institutions like that.
There's so many different angles to this whole mm-hmm. fucking story. But just because we have to go, I won't get into all of them, except do you think we'll get to the point? I mean, for real, do you think we'll get to the point where AI will be writing movie scripts and TV shows and stuff like that? they're going to replace writers with that stuff.
I mean,
because I only ask because I had a funny idea for a sketch, which is AI getting the Oscar over a couple of other people.
Oh, that's funny.
And like, you know, who do you give it to? Best screenplay? Yeah. No. It goes up to receive the, you know, uh-huh. It's like artificial intelligence comes out and is like, thank you so much. I am very grateful to you for giving me this honor. Although I will say I could not have done it without other people.
I don't know. I'm a little bit freaked out by the whole proposition because technically AI, if that, then they could replace like actors and they could replace musicians and singers. And it's a snowball. I don't think we're anywhere close to that. But I don't think it's a good prospect.
Here's my thing about that. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's entirely possible that because we live in a culture which is just about vampirically extracting whatever money we possibly can from every process, every product,
in like the
every
cheapest
moment,
possible way.
It may come to, oh, AI is writing. But as a writer and as someone who reads writing,
mm-hmm.
I guess I feel like writing is a way of looking at the world and saying, this is what I identify as important. This is what I connect to. This is what I feel about this thing. This is how I relate to other people and other emotions and whatever. And so when I read somebody else's writing, I go, yes, that person understands what I am feeling, what I am thinking, mm-hmm. what I am perceiving. And hopefully my writing does that for other people as well at times. And they go, I've never been able to articulate it exactly the way that I'm seeing it there. And I feel like there's just no way that a computer could do that, you know? And I say computer because that's what I imagine AI is just like a Commodore 64 with a voice modulator. But I just don't think there's a way that you can replace that. That doesn't ultimately matter, I think, mm-hmm. because if there's a way to do it cheaper and people don't care,
they'll do it. Yeah.
But it will affect.
Well, the other thing, though, sure, make everything AI. Then, like, let us chill out a little bit. If everything is being done by computers,
we should all get a basic income.
Mm-hmm. Let's all just have fun together and watch this AI created art or whatever.
Right. It's going to turn into WALL-E where we just drift around on flying pallets. Whew, this was a dark episode. brought to you by Liquid Death, folks. AI, the death of creativity. Folks, this has been The Long Shot. It is a podcast. Please like and subscribe and listen to the show. Well, you're listening right now or you wouldn't be hearing this.
Respond to these comments.
Yeah, yeah. Like, chime in. Tell us if you know, like, anybody who has watched Steve Allen, What's My Line?
How old are you?
Let us know. And if you know Fibber McGee's Closet, please let us know that you know that as well, because that is way older than Steve Allen. Thank you so much. This was fun to do in real life, mm-hmm. even though I'm still freaked out by the...
It's always you. I never have seen myself.
No. I just turned and it was you. folks, we'll see you next time.
I can't just slam my laptop closed.
On The Long Shot. Thank you. Now, what do we... How do we leave? Do we have to turn it off ourselves?
I will not know you, whoever you are, and you'll be all in with the slots and the sin, and we'll go to my car. And if I start falling down to the ground, and if I remain and you cause me that pain, that I've heard all about. Well, I will not hear you, your shuffling song, with your hooves on the ground and my teeth in my mouth where they won't stay for long. And I will start weeping and swinging at you, but not do I know that the faster I go means the less that I do.